You're listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, the spirit, community, earth, and economy. And you can read all about those six areas of the Healthful Living Model at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living, and I'm here today with my partner, Julie Matthews.
I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living.
And you can hear this show or past shows of Reality Sandwich at realitysandwichradio.com, where everything's available for free download. Now, today, we are going to be speaking about one of our favorite subjects, Burning Man. Burning Man is coming up beginning this Sunday. It'll be lasting for a week all the way through to Labor Day. And we like to go every year, and we're going again this year. So we're going to spend today's show talking really all about Burning Man, some of our experiences, our thoughts, and we're going to welcome callers to call in and share their experiences. Have you been before? What has been your experience? If you're going for the first time, what are your apprehensions? What are your excitements? What are your concerns? What are you thinking about? We'd love to hear from you during a couple of breaks that we'll take during this hour. And the call-in number is 346-5376. So we welcome you to have that number handy, 346-5376. And give us a call during the breaks, and we'll take your questions, and perhaps we'll get you on the air, and we'll chat and hear your take. Now, before we begin our discussion of Burning Man, we wanted to just rant about something briefly here. Hopefully many of you have seen, hopefully all of you have seen, Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth, all about his presentation with respect to global warming that he's been doing all around the world for years. They've made it into a documentary, and it's quite phenomenal, and I really implore you to go see it. There's been some criticism about it, however, and this happens really every time that there's something very significant out that exposes truth or information that we're not normally getting in our regular media or hearing elsewhere, that people like to do what we call shoot the messenger. When the message is inconvenient or distasteful, we say, oh, well, maybe we can, you know, question the person who's giving the message, so that way we can somehow question the veracity of the message, so that way we don't really have to look at it, and we can just sidestep the whole thing and go on just saying, ha, 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 maybe you're not the best, and et cetera, et cetera. So there was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle just a few days ago, and I apologize, I don't have the name of the author in front of me, but I'm sure if you look at the Chronicle, I think it was on the 20th, where this writer really tore into Al Gore and made all kinds of assertions and allegations about, you know, he's not doing his absolute best to, you know, be saving the planet and, you know, cutting down the number of homes that he lives in and all kinds of other things. You know, and for me personally, those things may or may not be true, and we may or may not be able to, you know, tear into Al Gore himself as an individual conveyor of this message and say, gee, he's not being the absolute best, so then, gee, maybe there is no global warming. Maybe he's just making it up. I don't really get it, personally. I really don't get that perspective of tearing into the messenger that way, and like, what's your point, Mr. Article Writer Guy? I mean, are you trying to say then that all of the content provided in the film, if you've seen it, is without merit or is completely fabricated in some way, or that everything that we all collectively have been observing in the world over the last 15, 20 years with respect to changing weather patterns, etc., all of that is fake? There's nothing going on here whatsoever, all because Al Gore himself isn't doing the best that he can do, in your opinion, to save the planet in the way that he's suggesting that the rest of us be aware of. I just don't get it. I really think it's a cheap, insecure personal opinion to take that perspective of shooting the messenger. Julie?
Well, I can understand that you might be critical of the message or the messenger, and you might have questions. And I've actually heard a couple really good criticisms of the movie. In fact, things like He doesn't really talk about who is responsible for this.
Sure.
He doesn't talk about, you know, which governmental policies or which leaders or what, you know, which companies and all of that. He doesn't really talk about who and why necessarily. He talks just more about the science of it. I think that's a fairly valid comment, but again, it doesn't put into question whether all of this is fake or not. It just says that in 2 hours, you can't explain everything about everything to everybody. It's just a bigger message that you than you can do in that time. And sometimes if you try to put too many things into one film, you start to dilute the message and it becomes confusing. So for whatever reason, they chose to focus on the things that they did. And I think it's a very powerful in terms of the science behind it and the information, especially that thing with the, I think it's the carbon emissions mm-hmm. and how enormously out of sequence that is with everything else. That really was really clear to me. So I would agree with you. You know, we are all on a journey and we are all doing our best to be the change that we want to see. I know that in many different areas of my life when I've gotten a new awareness of something, it's taken me many years to learn all of the different options and ways of being and ways I can contribute and support. And you know, we never know all of them because they're constantly changing. So yeah, maybe he's hasn't figured everything out yet, and maybe there are certain things that he hasn't done, but that still doesn't mean that it's not true and it's not valid. So I would completely agree with you.
Yeah, and it certainly doesn't mean that we shouldn't be exposing people to the information.
Right.
You know, just because, even like, you know, Michael Moore isn't the best individual on the planet, doesn't mean that the content of Fahrenheit isn't valid or worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
And whether somebody's going to tear apart the content of it, the simple fact is that the film itself presents information which exposes people to more knowledge than that which is being shared with us openly and freely through the general media, or in the case of Fahrenheit film, from the government. So we can clearly say we're not hearing the full picture, so what is being told to us cannot be all the reality, yet here's somebody coming out with a film with more information. It just increases people's awareness. So anyway, let's get off the trip about shooting the messenger.
Okay, so I just want to comment that there are people trying to call in right now, which is great. We're happy to hear from people. It just happens that we don't have an engineer in the studio today to assist us with screening calls, so we're going to be taking calls at break. So if you can, please give us a call back in about 10 minutes when we go ahead and take our first break. So keep the phone line handy, and we look forward to talking to you very soon.
Great. All right, let's change gears. Enough about ranting about the Al Gore film. Today, we're going to speak...
But you should see the film,
yes.
By the way. It's amazing. And you know what? Form your own opinion. So I recommend everybody see it, and then you can have more information to determine for yourself what the truth is.
Because we like Al, and we appreciate what he's doing, the effort that he's making, and the film, An Inconvenient Truth, is very reality sandwich-esque in that it does present information in a palatable way. You can
mm-hmm.
take it in and
mm-hmm.
make your own decision and at least expose yourself to it. Give yourself that gift. So, today, Burning Man. Let's talk about it. Boy, every year, up in the Nevada desert, 30-some-odd thousand people from all different walks of life come together to co-create an entire experience, an entire city, actually.
How many? What do we know? Any cities that have 30,000 people or 35,000, so we can get a sense of the size of that? I don't know if I know off the top of my head.
I know. I'm guessing San Mateo. I don't know. Maybe
yeah.
something like
yeah.
that. But it is a large number of people, and you have to imagine that we're talking about a space in the desert that's huge, 25 miles wide by 50 miles long, flat nothingness, and from that nothingness, 35,000 people land there, so to speak, to create an entire working community and working city every year.
So
for a week.
Let's paint the picture of the nothingness first, because I don't think people fully understand that. People often think of it as, oh yeah, it's similar to, you know, going camping wherever, either at a campground or even backpacking in the mountains or something. But this nothing is truly nothing. There are no trees. There are no bushes. There are no shrubs. There is no grass. There is no shade. There really aren't even any bugs.
nothing at all.
It's pretty much an ancient lake bed that is, so it's sort of very, very fine, salty, sandy dust that you basically would find at the bottom of a 200,000-year-old lake bed mm-hmm. that is now dried up. Mm-hmm. And because of the area of Nevada that it's in, it's also very hot. So while it's not in the southern part of the desert, like we usually think of, quote, desert, it has very much desert-like conditions and definitely is considered a desert.
Right. So what part of this experience should we talk about first? I mean, a lot of people think of it as a hippie haven.
Or a party opportunity.
Party opportunity.
Something like that.
Yeah. It's
a big Grateful Dead concert or something like that.
Right, right. It's you know,
which I think is totally inaccurate to describe it, and you know, there may be some people that had gone to those events that might be there, and there might be some of that energy that you could find, mm-hmm. but it's much, much, much bigger than that.
Burning Man is an experiment. I mean, they label it as an experiment, and the creation of a temporary community,
mm-hmm.
where all these people come out there and create things from their own personal hearts and from their expression, and do so in a way that is without the normal confines or inhibitions of all the regular systems and paradigms that we have in place here in our regular, busy, coffee-drinking world.
Well, it becomes a real city for a week, right? It's called Black Rock City, and it's actually a city, and during that week of the year, it is the fifth largest city in Nevada.
True.
So it's not a small event. Or small happening.
And everything you need to exist, you've got to take with you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're camping, for example, if you're going to go out there and camp, because some people camp and build tents and those types of things, others bring RVs. But if you're camping, you've got to take everything that you need for a whole week of camping in the middle of the desert, meaning...
including not only water, but water to cook, water to wash your dishes, water to take a shower.
Right.
You need water for basically every possible purpose you might need it for. There is no water, so that's always one of the most interesting things.
And you need to build yourself some kind of shelter
mm-hmm.
Where you can sleep and also where you can spend just your leisure time in the shade. The sun will be beating down all day long. It gets very, very hot during the day, so you need to find yourself some kind of shade.
However, the nice thing is that it cools down to a very San Francisco weather in the evening in the 60s. So it's really nice because you can sleep at night, you can get a reprieve from the heat. So it's hot during the day and cool at night, so it makes it much more manageable. And what most people do, I don't really particularly like the heat, but what most people do and what I do is just from noon to 2 or 1 to 3 or something, I just usually hang out, go listen to a lecture, take a nap, go to some shade somewhere, and spend those couple hours. And then otherwise, the morning is gorgeous until about noon. It's not too hot. And then the afternoon and the early evening are beautiful. So it's not, the picture of really scorching heat all day, all night, kind of what you might think of as those conditions.
But to further define the camping experience, you need to take all your food for yourself. You need to be able to cook for yourself. You need to be able to take all of your garbage with you when you go. There is no place to go and dump your garbage like you can at a regular campsite. There's no convenience store to go buy more supplies. You need to bring everything that you need with you, whether you're going for 3 days or for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you take in, you've got to take out yourself, because there is complete respect for the environment in which you're habitating for that
mm-hmm.
time. And your intention and the intention of everyone there is to leave no trace behind, mm-hmm. so that after this experience, there's nothing but plain desert again,
mm-hmm.
and we, being collective 35,000 some odd people, have not negatively impacted the environment in any way,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing that in complete respect of all things in nature.
Yes, and they don't even allow even burn, like charring of the ground that the structures are on. So for things like burning the man or burning any artwork, it's very controlled. That you not only do you not want to leave trash behind, but you don't want to leave any marks on the dirt behind. You don't want to leave even any big marks where there, you know, you poured water or anything. You kind of want to leave it as you saw it when you got there.
Okay, so we're talking about the significance of the camping experience.
Which is all what sustainability is about, right?
Right.
You know, having something be sustainable year after year after year, trying to create an environment where you add just as much back as you're taking away so that you leave it in as good a place, if not better, when you go.
Right. Okay, so, yes, it's a lot of work to get out there and a lot of work to prepare
but that's
to go
part
out there.
That's the fun part.
So why do it?
That's the fun part.
Exactly.
It's fun. It's fun to plan everything out and prepare everything and get all your supplies ready, and it's kind of like a MacGyver survival camping trip.
It really is an experience, and it brings a lot out of you to challenge yourself, to take yourself to a particular environment for your own intentional reasons, whether you're going for fun or for just openness or to express yourself or to go and appreciate amazing art or, you know, just to go to the desert and see what's going on. It challenges us, and it's through challenge and experience that we grow our personal character, our human character. And one of the things that I'm just being reminded here about Burning Man is that it's really all about art, and it's all about expression.
Yeah, it's really, I think it's really all about personal expression.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you can express that, quote, art in any way you'd like. So some people build an art project. Some people go around and offer their dance form through the streets. Some people show off their beautiful body. I mean, it's all about whatever your expression, what your art form, what your creative expression is. That's what people do.
And what we mean by creating an art can be a sculpture that somebody creates and takes out to the desert and positions it somewhere within this entire city area just for that week.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that spend an entire year creating something magical, you know, out of their own minds and with their own hands for the purpose of sharing it with that community of people.
To give you an example, if you are ever in the city, over at the Ferry Plaza building, there is one of the art exhibits from last year. I forget what they call it. It's a mother and a child, all made out of metal, and it's, what, 30 feet tall, something like that?
Yeah.
Huge art structure, all welded together with, and what they did at last year was they had all these footprints, and at the very end, they lit all of these footprints on fire, so there were, you know, it was, and so it was incredible, and you can see the sculptures at the Ferry Plaza building. So those are there, and that's just one example. We have friends in the past and friends this year that literally spend, not exaggerating, an entire year working on this. We have one friend this year that is in charge of building the cathedral, and they got a huge grant from Burning Man. Burning Man is one of the largest contributors of art funding in the country, if not in the world, and I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars I think they got to build this this cathedral.
Yeah.
And there are 150 people working on this art project. So there is some of the most amazing. There was also, if you were on Octavia Street a couple, maybe about 4 or 5 months ago, where that new part is after the freeway on and off ramp, there was the top of one of the temples from last year.
David Best had created a small temple down there.
And, you know, so just to give you some examples, these are some, in some cases, enormous structures with hundreds of people working on them. And it's really inspiring.
We'll take a break in just a moment and invite you to call.
Yeah, because we have people calling in right
now. Yes, yes. But it's what, this thing about art, I mean, one of the reasons that I feel so compelled to go is because the same feeling that I would have whether I'm visiting the Louvre or the Museum of Modern Art, that just to be there and behold art, to behold other people's absolutely beautiful creations is just something that is so fulfilling to me. So when I'm at Burning Man and I'm in that entire city, I'm in such an environment of creation where so many people have put so much beautiful work into creating something that I get to go there and marvel in it. And for that week, there is no city in the world mm-hmm. that has as much concentration of human artistic expression in a single place. And to go and bask in that, it's absolutely phenomenal.
For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. You're listening to Reality Sandwich with Julian Martin Matthews, and we're talking about Burning Man. And we are going to take a quick break right now. We have some callers on the line, so we want to get to them, and we will be right back. You're welcome to call in at 415-346-5376.
We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Reality Sandwich, and we're talking about Burning Man today, and we've got a caller on the line. Carter, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you. You're on. So you were just saying you're going to Burning Man this year?
Yeah, I am. It's my third trip, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's a really enlightening experience, and I'm looking forward to lots of enlightenment.
So what is it, what's attracted you to Burning Man? I mean, I don't know exactly what it is you do in the world, but I know that, you know, so many different people from many different walks of life are attracted to this experience. What draws you?
I'm sorry, Martin, I can't hear your question. I don't know what's wrong with the connection, but I really can't hear your question.
I was just saying that many people from many different walks of life are attracted to going to Burning Man, and I'm just wondering, what is it that attracts you?
What's attractive to me about the people that go? Well, I think essentially it's a great cross-section of people, and you meet all sorts of folks. I mean, from beekeepers in British Columbia to restaurant owners in Missoula, Montana, to, artists from Taos, New Mexico might be there. So there's, you know, people from all over the world, and plenty of folks from the East Coast, too. I don't mean to leave them out, but you just meet people you wouldn't run across in any other way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. And
what do you find the people to be like in terms of interaction? Is it different than the interaction in your everyday life?
Oh, of course. Everybody's there to interact in a new fashion, some different way of existing, I guess is the best way to put it. And so this is a great place for you to try on certain ideals that you might have or certain personas that you want to adopt or something like that. So it gives us all a chance to experiment and become the sort of being, for lack of a better word, that we'd like to become.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And are you, do you generally go by yourself or with any, you know, camp of other people, or what do you typically do?
Again, Martin, I can't hear. I can hear Julie, but not Martin very well with the questions.
He wanted to know if you usually camp by yourself or if you usually camp...
A couple of friends. I usually have some people that I associate with. It's a smaller group this year. More people in my demographic, and that they're guys about my age. It's three of us. Whereas in the past I've been with larger groups, but that was by choice. We want to have a little bit more time to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing.
So for new people that haven't been before, do you, in your experience of big camps versus small camps, any experience on what someone that's new going for the first time might like the best?
I think bigger is better because you get to experience more different walks of life and different people you interact with. However, you know, the group dynamics are real critical, and there can be, you know, one person in there that throws the whole group off. So it really, there's no hard and fast rule, but I think at first try and get as much exposure as possible. And if you're new, you might want to camp in a space that's like right on the road as opposed to in one of the groups or something that, you know, you're going to be interacting with more people. So, I mean, I found these guys that I'm going with through going to Burning Man.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and one's in construction, another one's in digital media, and I'm in pharmaceuticals. So we would never have run across each other otherwise.
Wow.
Hmm.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being on, Carter. This is really, really helpful to get your perspective.
Sure, and I hope everybody goes and everybody has a good time. Nobody gets hurt. That's the key.
Yep.
Thanks. Thanks, Carter.
Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's great. See, I mean, it's all different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love, is that it's so diverse. It's such a cross-section. And the commonality is that people want to go out there to appreciate life,
mm-hmm.
and themselves, and appreciate that we have the capacity to create amazing things and share amazing things with one another. It is a gift economy, they say. You can't go and there's no convenience stores. You can't just go and buy anything. The only thing that you are able to buy when you're there, fortunately, is ice.
Ice. Ice is very key because your ice will only stay cold for, what, maybe a day and a half, or stay solid
mm-hmm.
for a day and a half. So you definitely need to replenish your ice. But other than that, you're pretty much on your own. You can go to there's a little central area, center camp, and you can buy coffee or tea or water, but that's pretty much the extent of it. Otherwise, you're on your own. And I like what Carter said about the big camps versus the small ones. At first, there is some benefit if to either go with people that have gone before,
mm-hmm.
in which case you don't need a big camp. But if you've never gone before and you're going with people that have never been, if you can find a camp with a larger group, it's nice because then you have more people, more resources if you're needing some assistance or that kind of thing. So, and then there are definitely Burning Man camps, like the Lamplighters and things like that. If you've never been before and you don't know any big camps to go with, on the Burning Man website, there are some camps that you can camp with to get your feet wet. And we had a friend that did that 1 year, and it worked out very well.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, people go, you know, we tend to always go with a smaller camp, but we were fortunate to be with some, I think, 7-year veterans the first time we went. So even though we were new, as long as you have at least one or two people that have done this before, you'll be all set.
Mm-hmm.
Or just go for it.
I've described Burning Man as a journey to the subconscious of humanity.
Mm.
Because it's in our subconscious where our innate human programming exists, and it's innate and normal for us to want to be ourselves,
mm-hmm.
to want to connect with others, to want to share, to want to co-create in some kind of a way. I always think back of that vision of the community coming together to build the community barn, right? When you've got that kind of an activity going on, everyone is able to just be a part of it unbridled, with no inhibitions. So imagine a world where people don't have those inhibitions and they can trust and have faith that whomever they are is great.
Mm-hmm.
And will be fully appreciated by everybody else around them.
And that's kind of what Carter was mentioning, was that it's so nice because the interaction with everyday people is so different. I mean, I remember the first time I went, I was really quite, I wouldn't say terrified, that would be too strong of a word, but I was definitely nervous, and probably every other week before I left, I would tell Martin, I'm not going. Okay, I'm going. No, I'm not going. Mm-hmm. Because it's scary to have the freedom to be anything that you want to be, anything that you might have been afraid to do before, you now have the freedom to do it. But the piece I was missing that I couldn't understand until I'd gone is that the audience or your everyday people you interact with are also different. So you're not there with the stuffy boss who has a particular persona that he's putting on, and, you know, all of these sort of rigid personas. Everybody is trying on new ways of being and new ways of interacting and new ways of expressing themselves, so that it's such a receptive audience that everybody really encourages whatever it is that an individual want to express in the moment. And it's such a freeing opportunity that sometimes actually it's a little tough to come back to the real world, because, you know, I would actually call that at least the real reality I'd like to create, so I'd like to consider that the real world. But, you know, our everyday world, you know, it's interesting that when you come back, you realize, people don't even make eye contact with you when they're walking down the street and cross your path coming the other way, or some of those basic things that, you know, we just don't even notice until we're in a totally different environment.
Right.
And then it's like really obvious, like, wow. You know, it is a really different experience, and it's a really nice experience. Every time I go there, there's somebody putting themselves out there, you know, offering to, quote, what we call, quote, go first, you know, to be themselves and say hello to you, and there's no, you aren't pretty enough, or you aren't cool enough, or none of that stuff exists.
Judgment free.
It's so freeing, and it's really a wonderful opportunity, and I really highly recommend it. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, there's different aspects. There's people that love to dance, and there's people that stay out late, and there's people that like to party, and all those things, of course, exist, because it's a kind of a cross-section of everybody. But there's also a kids' camp, where there are, you know, dozens, if not hundreds, I don't exactly know, it's getting pretty big. There's a whole kiddie village where there's kids' clowns and games and things, and families camp there, and I've seen everything from 6-month-olds to 14-year-olds, and so there you can find everything there, from the G-rated family fun to the have fun, do things that you don't normally do in your normal life.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
it's a city of conscious people, and it's going to have the full spectrum like any city will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In San Francisco, we've got every full gamut of beauty and range of culture in this city. And, you know, from the beauty of the Mission and Chinatown and North Beach to, you know, things that other people yell about, like, you know, Hunter's Point stuff or the Tenderloin or things. I mean, there's every different variety going on in every city. And Black Rock City or the Burning Man experience has that full gamut as well. And the overlying theme of it is simply that notion of lack of judgment and ability to really be and be yourself and have that be appreciated. And one of the things is that this notion of that there's no judgment, as you were saying before. We've all had an experience, hopefully, where somebody pays you just a really delightful compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I remember you and I were walking a few weeks ago, and we saw a lady just walking out of her house one morning who clearly had, you know, just snazzed herself up, and she had these great shoes that matched the bag that she had, right?
Yeah.
And you could tell that she was feeling good about it, right?
Yeah.
And he said, hey, that's a really, you know, love how that matches up. And she lit up because she, you know, was acknowledged for something that had meaning to her.
Right.
Right? So imagine for a week an entire city where everyone's default orientation is digging everybody else's thing, you know, and just appreciating everybody else for who they are, and that all that judgment is left aside.
Right.
So that's why I call it like a journey to our subconscious, because all this stuff that we have that we make up in our regular world, all these other judgments and assessments about who's better than who and this is not okay and that's not okay, are all consciously created constructs. They're all consciously created fears and inhibitions that we slap upon our innate humanity. Mm-hmm. And if we could create a world where we didn't have that stuff, where we could all be more in our own innate natural human power and expression, I think we'd do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So here is an opportunity where once a year about 30-some-odd thousand people go out and create a space where that's really what it's all about, and beautiful things happen. So I want to invite you to call in if you're going to Burning Man this year, or you've been, or you have any thoughts you want to share with us.
Or you have questions because you want to go next year.
Sure. Give us a call at 346-5376, and we'll take your call and perhaps have a chat with you on the air. We're going to take a quick break and see if we can...
You're listening to KPOO, San Francisco, 89.5 FM. You're listening to Reality Sandwich.
We'll be right back.
We are back. This is KPOO San Francisco 89.5. You're listening to Reality Sandwich with Julie and Martin Matthews. And today we've been talking all about Burning Man, and we've had some callers on the air talking to us about their experience. We just had a caller who didn't want to be on the air but wanted to ask us about their first-time first-timer, and they her name was Jean, and she's in her 50s, and she's going, but she's a little apprehensive because she had heard, and I can relate, that she always hears that all the stuff about everybody's naked, and that she's really a little uncomfortable, not really sure if she's going to feel out of place or if there's going to be like pressure or anything like that. So I wanted to address this question because I certainly had heard things like this too. You know, it's, you can do anything you want. You don't have to do anything you don't want. Most people do not go naked. Some people do because they can, and that's their thing. But most people don't. Most people do whatever they're comfortable with. So there's certainly no concern around that.
Yeah, it's hot. You know?
For me, it's hot, and I don't want to be exposing my skin because I don't want to be getting that much of a sunburn. So I actually prefer to wear, like, really cool, loose, long pants, personally.
Right.
So, being naked is not a necessity or necessarily an advantage. but
it's not what it's about.
To be sure,
there's a greater likelihood of your spotting a naked person, at Burning Man than walking down the street of San Francisco.
True.
But it's not what it's about, and it's entirely possible you spend your entire time there and never see anybody, like that, right? And you conjure all these images in your mind of what this thing must be like. But it's really just quite eclectic, and it's like Disneyland for adults in a way, in that everything that you see there has been brought and built and created by somebody, and I've witnessed teams of people coming together to build things over the course of a few days in order to share it with, thousands of others over the course of a week. And something about just observing that and being a part of that, for me, really just inspires my belief in the human spirit and in the capacity of people to come together behind a common purpose, a beautiful common purpose, of expressing themselves and sharing something wonderful with others. Mm. And, there's nothing more beautiful than that.
Let's talk about that sharing with others, because this is a part that we actually haven't talked about yet, is that usually people, when they go, they offer something to the participants. So it can be as simple as a friend of ours who works at Whole Foods, and he's been able to gather some, food items that for whatever reason they couldn't sell, and he wants to give those away to people. And now we have another caller. So just to give you an example of some of the ways that people contribute on a larger scale, people often will participate in what they call theme camps. And theme camps are larger offerings. And this could be anything from building a music sound system and playing music, to creating a temple where there's yoga or other restorative healing modalities. There is, I've taken everything from yoga to some healing breath work to a goddess ceremony to a beautiful temple burn that happens on the last night after the night of the burn. It happens on Sunday night. Incredibly spiritual healing experience. So, there's lots of really beautiful ways that people contribute. There'll be people offering workshops and talks and free healing sessions and all sorts of things. So realize that's there too, and it's nice to have an opportunity in life where people really want to give, and it's a really good excuse and opportunity to practice receiving in an environment where you can really feel worthy, and it's really beautiful.
There was one afternoon we were riding our bikes along, and it was hot and sweaty, and somebody just rode up on a little bicycle thing, and in the front he had a little container, and he had all these popsicles. And that was his gift. He had brought a whole truckload of popsicles, and he was out just spontaneously sharing them with people. And it was just such a delight in that moment. Mm-hmm. The last thing I would have expected in the world was to get a hot popsicle in the middle of the desert.
Hot popsicle. Cold popsicle.
Cold popsicle in the middle of a hot desert. And here was just this beautiful guy just sharing it. And what a wonderful thing. Hey, we have somebody on the line who is, I think he's going for the first time. Are you there? Hello?
Hi, this is Akbar from San Francisco.
Hello.
Hey, Akbar. How are you? You going to Burning Man this year?
I am going to Burning Man this year. It's my first time going, and I'm excited to go. I am currently trying to figure out what costume. I'm not a terribly creative sort when it comes to costumes, but I want to be a full participant. I want to fully immerse myself in the spirit of Burning Man, and people have been telling me that the way to do that is to start with a costume, and I'm stumped so far.
Okay, so this is a great question, and I would love to answer it, because I have to say that I hate costumes. I hate Halloween as, like, my least favorite holiday, because I'm not really a costume person. I have trouble with that. So I have found something. I've been able to embrace the costume side of me. And so I'll give you an example. Usually, whereas, you know, with Halloween or an occasion like that, usually people will dress up as something, you know, as a witch, as a... you know, whatever. Burning Man, it's not necessarily that together. So our thing was that for several years we were a camp called Pinklectica, Eclectic Expressions with a Pink Twist. So everything we've gathered over the years is pink. So when Martin and I go out together, pretty much we are pink head to toe, including Martin's fuzzy pink shoes that he made. So for us, it, you know, quote, costume is... one of our pink crazy hats with one of our pink pairs of shoes with one of our pink outfits, and you know, that in itself is a costume. So that's
more theming then.
Yeah, that's our experience anyway. That's how we do it. We'll give it some more examples, Martin, of some other.
Well, when you were just saying that, babe, I was just thinking, you know, it's what feels fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's whereas Julie was saying for Halloween, it's like being something else that
like
I'm in
like
a way
character
replicating
or something.
But what I found, and this may just be some advice, I mean, I go to Goodwill, and I look through the racks, and I see zany stuff that for some reason is jumping off the rack at me as being kind of crazy or kind of cool, and I'll try it on and go, whoa, you know, that looks kind of neat, kind of fun. I mean, I wouldn't normally have occasion to wear that, but
yeah,
hey.
Who wouldn't normally wear his purple velvet pants, but Burning Man, they're great.
Yeah, but every once in a while, you can get in
velvet.
That kind of...
I like it.
Every once in a while...
That brings up another issue. So I'm wondering about temperature-wise, because I also want to be comfortable while I want to be costumed.
Oh, very good question. That is a really good one. So during the day, it's very hot, so you sort of need two sets of costumes in a way. You need items you can wear when it's hot and items you can wear when it's cold, because at night, you're pretty much going to need a jacket. So... Mm-hmm. If you can find a jacket that sort of fits in your costume theme, that's ideal, but I always have trouble finding one, so I just, you know, find whatever warm outerwear I can wear, and then, so at night I do more, like, an outfit with pants and, like, some sort of long sleeve thing or some sort of jacket over it, and usually I wear a hat, which doubles as a costume piece as well as warmth for my head. So the thing that I forgot, even in my second year I forgot, it is hot, it is cold at night, so definitely make sure that you bring some sort of warm outerwear.
Right, so something I can layer and add to my costume.
Exactly, because then if you need to, you can take your jacket off if you have, you know, if you get hot. But if you're not, you have more options.
Okay. I had one last question, and this is like a safety question. How much water should I bring?
Ah, good question. Is it 1.5 or 1 gallon? Do you remember? I think it's 1.5 gallons per person per day. So.
1.5 gallons.
Yeah, so if you're, and 1.5 gallons should cover your shower, your cooking water, as well as your drinking water. We usually calculate 1.5 gallons per person per day, plus we usually add, you know, an extra 5 gallon water jug just to be on the safe side. But yeah, that's probably one of your most important items.
Well, thank you so much. I really have enjoyed the show.
You're welcome. Maybe we'll see you there, and we wish you a lot of fun.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Well, that was helpful.
That was fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's people going for the first time, and I just appreciate that they're throwing themselves into an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something going on. There's something attracting them, and sometimes you just got to give yourself an experience and just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of our wonderful growing experiences in life come from, you know, something where we've thrown ourselves into it.
Right.
Not necessarily knowing exactly why, but we felt that was something we needed to grow.
Right. And the nice thing, again, is that with the giving mentality of Burning Man, if you end up being a little short on olive oil, or you end up being a little short on, you know, a costume item or something, then it's often that somebody in your camp or somebody that you know can loan you something. But definitely come prepared with plenty, plenty of water, because that's, of course, very essential. But other than that, you know, it's every year we go, there's a new, it's like life. There's a new obstacle, there's a new challenge, there's a new whatever, and it's really all about just kind of going with the flow and making the best of it, and it all works out one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do our best to plan, and then we do our best to expect uncertainty.
And there's just something absolutely about the beauty of it, the beauty of the expression, the beauty of the art, where I have had many experiences in my life. I've been very fortunate to travel around the world as a backpacker in my younger years, and have seen the pyramids, and have seen the Taj Mahal, and have been to many, many beautiful places where I've stood there and just marveled and had my jaw drop in just absolute awe of what it was that I was able to just take in with my eyes. And every year at Burning Man, I have that same feeling many, many times, where I'm standing looking at something and just absolutely marveling at what it took to create it and the beauty behind it. And that's a feeling that I want to have as often as I can in my life. As often as I can in my life. And if any of that moves you in any way to inspire you to someday go and check this experience out, and or really any experience where you're going to go and just expose yourself to something new and beautiful, life is beckoning.
Mm-hmm. I think just to wrap up before we leave, the final piece of this whole thing that makes it such an amazing experience is that it's 35,000 people from around the country and around the world that leave their regular home and their regular life and come out here, and they get this whole new experience with this new energy, a new way of seeing themselves, a new way of seeing the possibilities of what you can create in the world. And everybody takes that back to their little home or their little community, and it can't not change something on some level, because you are changed when you go there, and 35,000 people going are going to make some impact on their own life as well as the life of people around them. And that's what really excites me the most, is that we get to see an example of another way of doing things, and we get to bring it back and apply it to our own life.
So beautifully said, dear.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, our spirit, community, earth, and economy. You can hear past episodes of Reality Sandwich at realitysandwichradio.com, available for free download. You can hear us live at 89.5 FM or at kpoo.com on the internet.
We will be out next week, but we will be back at the first week of September, so please stay tuned every Thursday at noon for Reality Sandwich. If you want to hear this show or share any of our past shows with your friends, feel free to go to realitysandwichradio.com, and you can download them for free.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, and coming up next, Connecting the Dots.